理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 3. Preview. Which of your senses do you enjoy the most? Which do you use the least? Sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch are at once survival tools, channels of information, sources of pleasure and pain, and a fascinating subject to read and think about. The three texts in this unit encourage us to pay a bit more attention to the senses we usually take for granted, to appreciate the way they work, the tricks they play, and the great joy they bring to our lives. Texts A and B concentrate on how children and adults can learn to experience the world with a never-ending freshness, while text C contemplates the interesting things that can happen when we apply our sense of wonder to the world of work.
Text A, The Sense of Wonder, by Rachel Carson. A child's world is fresh and new and beautiful, full of wonder and excitement. It is our misfortune that, for most of us, that clear-eyed vision, that true instinct for what is beautiful and awe-inspiring, is dimmed and even lost before we reached adulthood. If I had influence with the angels who are supposed to preside over all children, I would ask that their gift to each child in the world be a sense of wonder so indestructible that it would last throughout life. If children are to keep alive their natural sense of wonder without any such gift from the angels, they need the companionship of at least one adult who can share it, rediscovering with the child the joy, excitement, and mystery of the world we live in. Parents often feel inadequate when confronted on the one hand with the eager, sensitive mind of a child, and on the other with a world of complex physical nature. In a mood of self-defeat, they exclaim, "How can I possibly teach my child about nature? Why, I don't even know one bird from another." I sincerely believe that for children, and for parents seeking to guide them, it is not half so important to know as it is to feel. If facts are the seeds that later produce knowledge and wisdom, then the emotions and the impressions of the senses are the fertile soil in which the seeds must grow. The years of early childhood are the time to prepare the soil. Once the emotions have been aroused, a sense of the beautiful, the excitement of the new and the unknown, a feeling of sympathy, pity, admiration, or love, then we wish for knowledge about the object of our emotional response. Once found, such knowledge has far more lasting meaning than mere information. It is more important to pave the way for children's desire to know than to put them on a diet of facts they are not ready to assimilate. Even if you feel you have little knowledge of nature at your disposal, there is still much you can do for your child. Wherever you are, and whatever your resources, you can still look up at the sky, its dawn and evening beauties, its moving clouds, its stars by night. You can listen to the wind, whether it blows with majestic voice through a forest or sings a many-voiced chorus around the corners of your apartment building. And in the listening, you can gain magical release from your thoughts. You can still feel the rain on your face and think of its long journey from sea to air to earth and wonder at the mysteries of natural selection embodied in the perfume and flavor of a fruit. Even if you are a city dweller, you can find some place, perhaps a park or a golf course, where you can observe the mysterious migrations of the birds and the changing seasons. And, with your child, you can ponder the mystery of a growing seed, even if it's just one planted in a pot of earth in the kitchen window. Exploring nature with your child is largely a matter of being open to what lies all around you. It is learning again to use your eyes, ears, nose, and fingertips, opening up the disused channels of your senses. For most of us, knowledge of our world comes largely through sight. Yet we look about with such unseeing eyes that we are partially blind. One way to open your eyes to unnoticed beauty is to ask yourself, "What if I had never seen this before? What if I knew I would never see it again?" What is the value of preserving and strengthening this sense of awe and wonder, this recognition of something beyond the boundaries of human existence? Is the exploration of the natural world just a pleasant way to pass the golden hours of childhood, or is there something deeper? I am sure there is something much deeper, something lasting and significant. Those who dwell, as scientists or lay people, among the beauties and mysteries of the earth are never alone or weary of life. Whatever the problems or concerns of their personal lives, their thoughts can find paths that lead to inner satisfaction and to renewed excitement in living. Those who contemplate the beauty of the earth find reserves of strength that will endure as long as life lasts. There is symbolic as well as actual beauty in the migration of the birds, the ebb and flow of the tides, the folded bud ready for the spring. There is something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that dawn comes after night and spring after the winter. I like to remember the distinguished Swedish oceanographer Otto Peterson, who died a few years ago at the age of 93, in full possession of his keen mental powers. His son has related in a recent book how intensely his father enjoyed every new experience, every new discovery concerning the world about him. "He was an incurable romantic," the son wrote, "intensely in love with life and with the mysteries of the universe. When he realized he had not much longer to enjoy the earthly scene, Otto Peterson said to his son, 'What will sustain me in my last moments is an infinite curiosity as to what is to follow.'"
New words. Misfortune.
Clear-eyed.
Awe-inspiring.
Dim.
Angel.
Preside.
Inadequate.
Confront.
Mood.
Sincerely.
Sincere.
Arouse.
Rouse.
Mirror.
Assimilate.
Disposal.
Dispose.
Majestic.
Majesty.
Chorus.
Selection.
Embody.
Perfume.
Flavor.
Migration.
Migrate.
Migrant.
Ponder.
Strengthen.
Awe.
Recognition.
Weary.
Reserve.
Reservation.
Symbolic.
Symbol.
Ebb.
Tide.
Bud.
Heal.
Infinitely.
Finite.
Refrain.
Oceanographer.
Possession.
Keen.
Intensely.
Intense.
Intensity.
Concerning.
Earthly. Text B, The Innocent Eye, by Dore Bothwell. Creative observation of our surroundings revives in us a sense of the wonder of life. Much of this discovery involves the recovery of something that we all once had in childhood. When we were very young, we were all artists. We all came into this world with the doors of perception wide open. Everything was a delightful surprise. Everything, at first, required the slow, loving touch of our tongues and our hands. Long before we could speak, we knew the comfort of our mother's warm body, the delightful feel of a furry toy. Smooth and rough surfaces, things cold and hot surprised and charmed us. Touch by touch, we built up our store of tactile impressions, keenly sensed in minute detail. Later on, this tactile sensing was transferred to our eyes, and through the sense of vision, we were able to feel things beyond the grasp of our hands. This kind of seeing was not the rapid, sophisticated eye sweep of the efficient fact-finding adult. This kind of seeing was a slow, uncritical examination in depth. The more we looked, the more lovely and surprising things appeared. Until we were pervaded by that wordless thrill which is the sense of wonder. None of us has lost our store of tactile memories, nor have we lost our sense of wonder. All that's happened is that we have substituted identifying and labeling, which can be done very rapidly, for the tactile sort of feel-seeing that requires much more time and concentration. For example, if you were asked to look at the edge of your desk and estimate its length, it would only take you a few seconds to flick your eyes back and forth and say that it's so many inches long. But suppose you were asked to run the tip of your finger along the edge of your desk and count every tiny scratch. You would press your finger along the edge and move it very, very slowly, and your eyes would move no faster than your finger. This slow, concentrated way of feeling and seeing is the first step towards regaining our sense of wonder. There was a time when people moved no faster than their feet, or the feet of some animal that carried them. During that period, the artistic or creative spirit seemed to have free expression. Today, in order to be creative and yet move smoothly and efficiently through our fast-paced world, we must be able to function at two different speeds. The mistake we've made, often with tragic results, is to try to do all our living at the speed our machines have imposed upon us. In order to live at this speed, we must scan the surface of things, pick out the most striking aspects, and disregard secondary features. There's certainly nothing wrong in this if we're driving on a busy highway. But when we allow this pressure to invade every aspect of our lives, we begin to lose touch, to have a feeling that we're missing something. We're hungry for we don't know what. When that happens, we've begun to suffer from aesthetic malnutrition. Fortunately, the cure for this condition is very pleasant, and although it takes a little self-discipline at the beginning, the results are worth the effort. When we see the world as design artists see it, we become especially aware of the interaction between positive and negative space. In architecture, we become suddenly aware of the spaces between the windows. At the ballet, we notice how the spaces between the dancers open and close. And in music, we realize that rhythm is made by the shapes of silence between the notes. Everywhere we look, we see this principle in action. Trees are not silhouetted against blank air, but hold blue patterns between their leaves while the branches frame living shapes of sky. We delight in the openings between the leaves of a plant or the spokes of a wheel. This endless exchange between form and space excites us. Once more, we feel in touch with our world. Our aesthetic sense is being fed, and we are comforted. We may have been taught that butterflies are lovely and frogs are ugly, so we admire the butterfly and shrink away from the frog without really examining it to find out if what we had been taught is true. Or we are taught that flowers are good and weeds are bad, so we pull up the latter without a glance. To the artist's eye, there is no good or bad. There is just the inappropriate. In the garden, weeds are not appropriate, but in an open field, they offer a world of delight. And after we've learned to see the beauty in weeds, even though we have to pull them out of the garden, we can first admire their design. When no preconceived ideas keep us from looking, and we take all the time we need to really feel what we see, When we are able to do that, the universe opens up and we catch our breath in awe at the incredible complexity of design in the humblest things. It is only when this happens that we regain our sense of wonder.
New words. Observation.
Surroundings.
Perception.
Furry.
Tactile.
Fact-finding.
Pervade.
Feel-seeing.
Concentration.
Flick.
Scratch.
Fast-paced.
Function.
Tragic.
Disregard.
Regarding.
Aesthetic.
Interaction.
Architecture.
Architect.
Principle.
Silhouette.
Frame.
Spoke.
Exchange.
Butterfly.
Weed.
Latter.
Inappropriate.
Preconceived.
Complexity.
Humble.